Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
As always, I hope you're doing well today. I've been looking forward to spending some time with you again, particularly given that we're on this series about, well, what I'm calling the flow of the Christian life. And we began the last time we were together about around the topic of awakening as, if you will, the first gateway of Christian growth. But we're going to move on in time to talk about not only awakening, but abiding, anointing, authority, and action, and how each of these influences the other, builds upon the previous, and equips us to not only grow closer into the heart of God and bonds us deeply with God in our union with Him, but also prepares us to participate in the advancement of the kingdom of God. Now, the last time we were together, we talked about two dimensions of awakening. We had previously talked about awakening to the kingdom through the ministry of the Spirit, and then we went on and we talked about the whole idea of awakening to the fullness of Christ, of all that Jesus has done for us, and then awakening to God in the present moment. I just want to remind you that it's not being awake, but awakening, meaning that it's something that unfolds. We become, if you will, more awake in Christian growth than we were, and yet need to awaken more to Christian life as we move through these different, if you will, gateways of Christian experience and growth. I also want to remind you that we're never finished. We won't be finished until we see Jesus face to face. So there's a degree to which this whole journey that we're going to be taking together is a journey that we will experience over and over and over again. And also, I think it's important to mention that you can be awake in one area of your life and be all the way at action in another area. Because we are so multidimensional, that's the way that we as Christians move forward with one another. So, in terms of awakening, again, we've talked about awakening to the kingdom through the ministry of the Spirit, awakening to the fullness of Christ, to all that Jesus has done for us and what it means to be under His lordship, and also awakening to God in the present moment, how to develop awareness through spiritual exercises. Well, today, we're going to talk about two more, and if you will, the last two aspects of awakening that we want to see begin to happen in our lives. And the first one is awakening to the true self. Now, this is really important because we are born into a world that continually communicates to us that as we are, we don't measure up, and that if we want to receive the respect and honor for others, in fact, we need to perform more, that we need to find out what the world needs us to be, and then we work hard at accomplishing that. Well, you know, when we begin to really invest deeply in measuring up, in trying to become what the world needs us to be, we begin to distance from our true self. That's right. The word I use is we develop a projected self. We take pieces of ourselves and we begin to project them into the way that we interact with our world in an effort to control our world, to get out of the world what we need, which would, of course, be all the deep core longings of our lives met, but also the degree of acceptance and achievement, possessions, power, privilege that we think the world demands of us in order that we can really, if you will, measure up in the world's eyes. Well, that's not the way God made us. God made us with a true self. And He didn't intend for us to take part of our gifting and our passions and our abilities and then redesign them as a way to accomplish things in the world. He wants us to be at peace in our true self because that's where we most experience Him. That's where we most experience the ongoing, if you will, growth of the kingdom of God in our lives and then through our lives. There's a scripture that has been on my mind for some time. It comes out of Romans chapter 8, and it's verse 19. It says, "All creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." Wow, let's just look at that from the perspective of awakening. It could be saying to us that all creation is waiting for us to awaken to the true self that God has made us, to take the uniqueness of the giftings we've been given and the passions that are in our heart and the abilities and talents that we've developed, and to see all those flow out of who God has really made us, that we're safe in Him, we're secure in Him, we don't have to perform to measure up, and we are able to simply be who God intended us to be. All creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. I think it wouldn't be a stretch to say that all creation is waiting for you to live out of your true self, for the wonder of who God really made you to flow out of your life and to come out of a place of such security in who you are in Christ that you don't have to in any way feel that you're performing or achieving or finding privilege or measuring up or gaining possessions in order to satisfy the world that keeps saying to you, you don't measure up, that in yourself you're not enough. You see, God, He gives us this unbelievable gift of being His children, and then He wants us to live out of that. And what I did in my life is I took some of these gifts and talents and passions, and then I rearranged them to control and manipulate my world. That would be the projected self. Always working to, in some way, make sure that I'm enough instead of resting secure in the fact that in God I am enough and allowing myself to really develop according to God, how God has made me. And so that's the notion of the true self. The true self doesn't get preoccupied with things that have happened or worry about things that will happen, but the true self is able to live in the present moment, and that's where the kingdom of God engages us. Now, it's not easy to live out of your true self. You know, there have been times in my life where I may have used strength in an intimidating way to get what I wanted, or I may have used competency in a way more narcissistic to be accepted by others. And when you do that, you are actually projecting an image of yourself so that the world will be more accepting, so that the world will, in essence, make transactions with you instead of simply being at peace to be who it is that God intended you to be. Now, let me just go over a couple things that when we begin to live by our true self, we're going to experience a greater degree of self-acceptance. We don't have to look at ourselves in such a way that we're putting part of ourselves aside that is weak and then only accepting the stronger parts, but we're able to accept ourselves the way Jesus accepts people. And you know, Jesus accepted people even in the midst of their own weakness. That's what He did with Zacchaeus. He did the same with the woman caught in adultery and the woman at the well. He accepts them where they are. And somehow that acceptance enables their true self to come out. And so God wants us to be more self-acceptant. I think another characteristic of the true self is that we gain self-awareness. Do you know that there's a history of Christian leaders saying that to know God, you have to know yourself, and to know yourself, you have to know God? That's interesting. Thomas A. Kempis said that. Thomas Merton said that. Evagrius said that. To know God, you must know yourself. To know yourself, you must know God. And so not only is the true self something about self-acceptance, but self-awareness, that we begin to recognize what are our tendencies, what are our ways of responding to this world. I think true self also deals with self-examination. Self-examination is a deep look guided by the Holy Spirit that enables us to become, if you will, open and honest about what drives some of our dysfunctional behavior, some of our sinfulness, and we allow the Spirit to examine us deeply. We go into this place of God searching us, which I think leads us then to a whole place of self-surrender when we're able to say, oh God, here's where I need you to work, and I'm going to open myself up to that, which then comes right back around to giving us a greater sense of self-awakening. So I think this is one of the movements one of the things that needs to happen into our lives, and it's going to take our whole lives together, it's going to take the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we trust in Christ and in the Father's love to see us awaken to who we really are. You know, there have been times that I had to admit that I woke up in places I never intended to arrive in terms of the way I was interacting, the way I was dealing with issues in my life, the way I was manipulating or controlling my world. But as I begin to come into a place of peace with who God has made me and His acceptance and the security that is mine in Christ, I'm able to begin to lay that down in order to be more in tune with the Lord. I think it's a very important prayer. Oh God, help me awaken to my true self. This is one of the reasons that I do the Identity, Integrity, and Awakening of the True Self seminar, because I think it's something that we need to begin to think about, and the relationship between self-awakening and knowing who you are in the deepest place inside as God's child secure. So this idea of awakening that happens over time, it happens more than once in the same area. It influences the rest of our lives. So far we've seen we want to awaken to the movement of the kingdom through the Spirit. We want to awaken to the fullness of Christ in our lives and all that He has done. We want to awaken to God in the present moment, and then we want to awaken to the true self. Well, I think there's one more piece that we want to talk about, and that is learning how to awaken to the movement of Christ in the context of community. I've probably mentioned to you before that when I'm not at my best, I tend to isolate. I don't connect well with other people. But that's sure not the way God made us. Neuroscientists today are telling us that we work best when our minds are connected with other minds. When our brain is some way in relationship with other brains, all of a sudden, we do better, we respond better, we're able to interact better. Jesus Christ calls us the ecclesia, those that have been called out and called together. And this is one of the reasons we need to understand how important it is, how much to awaken to the movement of Christ in the context of community. We must be in community. Even as I say that, are you connected to at least a handful of people who appreciate who you are at the core, that you're connected to them in the deepest part of who you are, and they're able to celebrate you and also encourage you and support you as you move forward in the Christian life? There are so many Christians that even go to church, but they're only experienced a false community, connecting with people in the facade of who they want each other to think they are, rather than the deep vulnerability of where God wants to do the deepest work in our lives. So let me say a few things about what it means to awaken to Christ in community. I'd say one thing is that Paul makes it clear we're His body, and the body needs to be interconnected. The body needs to be supporting each other. As we begin to think about this, we see Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 12, and he then goes on and gives similar teachings in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 that, you know, we're not the whole body ourselves, that we might be the hand or the arm or the foot or the leg, and that we need the rest of the body to be connected to us so that we can move forward and do what we need to do. This is one of the great gifts the Lord has given me as I go out and do seminars. There are a whole group of caregivers that we've now been spending 20 years together, growing, connecting, and that when I go out and do my part, they do their part, and that's what makes a seminar such a phenomenal experience. We are His body. Another part of awakening to Christ in community is the recognition that as we minister to one another and then together minister to the world, we begin to reveal what God is like in His love, and gain strength to be able to reconcile the world to Christ. This happens best as we are deeply connected in a body of believers. And then the whole idea where Jesus teaches us where two or three are gathered, that's where He is in the midst of us. What a fantastic idea that when we gather together with other Christians, the presence of Christ is there. I've had some opportunities this week that have been sweet, and last week. Last week I was down in Richmond doing a seminar at the Healing Place, and there are such wonderful people there. Dr. Neil Seiler, Dr. Sharon Seiler, Dr. Proctor Beard, and so many other great people. When I'm there, I could sense the presence of Christ as we're gathered together, and it accelerates the movement of the Spirit, and it elevates the experience of life that we have with one another. Just last night, my wife and I met with our regular small group, a group of folks that come to the house every other week, and we talk about Jesus, and we pray for one another. And there were these moments where we were so tenderly touched by the presence of Christ, awakening to Christ in community. I think there are a lot of Christians wonder why they're struggling, but they're out there in isolation, not deeply connected to other Christians. Granted, we're not perfect. Granted, we bring our stuff with us. And that's why we have to learn a lot about empathy and grace and helping each other on the journey. But it's so important that we're connected. I think this is one of the reasons that as Jesus models for us ministry, he models by gathering disciples around him the importance of being in community. You do know that that's where we're headed in eternity, don't you? That's right. Eternity's pretty clear that there will be every tribe and there will be every tongue and we will be gathered there, and that community, experiencing Christ together, is part of our eschatological hope. There are days, whether I'm on my walk or sitting in prayer, and I begin to think that right now, the Bible says there are tens of thousands of people gathered around the throne, people from every tribe and every tongue. And they're singing glory and honor to Jesus as angels join in the celebration and elders throw their crowns down at the feet of Christ. It's not a picture of one person coming up and having his or her private audience with Jesus, but it's a picture of a whole community of people gathering around Jesus and experiencing the wonder of who he is. You see, awakening to Christ in community is saying that we are awakening more and more and more to how important it is that we're spending time with other Christians growing together in him. Now let's go back to the very beginning point of this discussion of awakening. Awakening is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's giving us eyes to see. Something is coming to life. And as that something comes to life within us, we begin to grow deeper in intimacy with the Lord. We begin to bond more deeply with Jesus in union with the Father. And we begin to participate more in the movement of the kingdom. Those awakenings are so important to us as we seek to move forward in the Christian life. You know, I was having some fun with some students once talking about this, and I said, isn't it funny? You'll be in class and you'll turn to someone and say something like, are you as tired as I am? Are you as bored as I am? But you don't see a lot of people saying, are you as awake as I am? And yet that's supposed to be, I think, one of the characteristics of Christians in community, that we're getting more and more awake all the time. A part of us comes alive. A part of us sees what we didn't see before. And this is all part of the gift of the Spirit that he wants to do within us. How awake are you? I think that's a legitimate question. Do you want to be more awake? Do you want to be able to see more of the movement of the kingdom and participate in the kingdom, to be more enthralled with what Christ has done for us and all the fullness of him, and to be present with God in the sacrament of the present moment, and to see our true self really come to bear, and to be awakened to how important it is that we're connected to one another? I think awakening, ongoing awakening, influences all the other movements of the Christian life. It certainly influences our ability to abide deeply. The more awake we are, the more we're able to abide. So what I would encourage you is to lift your heart up before the Lord and ask him, Lord, would you awaken me more? Holy Spirit, will you come and open my eyes, and would you enlighten and inspire my heart so that I can flow more in this ongoing awakening that causes me to grow intimate with you, more confident in the bond of union, and participate more in the ongoing work of the kingdom of God. I think this is an important conversation. You know, there's a couple questions I would leave you with just for you to ponder. When was it in your own life that you began to awaken to the kingdom? Who maybe influenced that or what? In what ways did you begin to see the kingdom movement that you didn't know before? What about the other awakening? When was the first time you started to really think about all that Jesus has done for you? How great and big he is. Or have you ever recognized that you don't spend enough time in the present moment, but you're caught up in the past and the future, and you need to be more in this present moment awake? And have you ever had the thought that you're not really living out of who you were, who God made you to be? Well, I say all that to say it would be a good thing for you to pray as I'm going to pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Let us experience a deeper and deeper awakening in an ongoing way in order that we can be more alive with you, dear Jesus. I think it's a very hopeful comment in Scripture when Paul says, all creation is waiting. So let me say that about you. Are you aware tonight, today, wherever you are, that all creation awaits for you to awaken to the wonder of who you are in Christ? Well, I pray the Holy Spirit continues to nudge you in this direction until we're together again.